Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
If you come down to the dome at the bottom of Agora Valley, yep. We're doing a little old school rave show, all old 90s and early 2000s rave hits.
Are our kids invited as well?
Or is
no. It's a fat kind of party. No, I gotcha.
Well, I mean, your kids are pretty cool, Roger.
Well, they
mean,
are. Yeah, my kids have seen a lot.
You were over here dropping the F-bomb around them.
Well,
so,
you know, they. I'm going to be me regardless.
So. Okay, right. All right. I think that's good. I imagine a lot of parents aren't in favor of that.
They're not. And of course, good my point. Parents can't stand the fact that I do that. But that's that's me. And like I told them, I'm going to be me. And if you don't like it, then have your own kids again.
I literally raise my kids the same way.
Right.
That we are us, and we are who we are, and you have your own thing that you think and you believe, and I do too.
Sure.
And while you live here, I will try to instill good values in you, and you'll make up your own mind as you go along. My kids go to Sunday school with their grandma when she's in town. We go to mosque on Friday and go to Sunday school on Sunday.
I was talking to my wife just last night about how this is the only environment that I've ever been in where you can have a Muslim libertarian, a Jewish libertarian, a pagan, an atheist, a Hindu, all at the same festival and getting along perfectly peacefully. I mean, is there anywhere else in the world that you can have that?
Not only that, we work together and cooperate. We have the Eid Porcupine Potluck that's coming up at the end of the week.
I can't wait for that.
We have people that are, the Jewish temple that's going to be set up during Porkfest, they're going to bring food. Edie and Varen with
Christians,
Ecclesiastes, they're going to bring food. So you have people from all different faiths.
Well, I'll be there. I'm atheist.
Yeah. We're all going to be coming together. We're all cooking for each other and doing this big community. Like, to me, it's like a family reunion.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The Liberty community, particularly this portion of it, is a family.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of reflect that. In our celebration this year, instead of asking people to help and volunteer like I normally would, by saying, look, I want so much for us to do something where we express this family that we've created that I'm willing to make it so easy for you. Just come to me and pick up the produce, pick up the meat, and go back and cook it.
Right.
Absolutely. I'll provide everything. All you have to do is provide the love and the effort to put in to making the food.
And there's plenty of love around here.
Exactly.
That's what's the best thing about Porkfest.
That's what I've noticed at Shire Fest and Somalia Fest. Porkfest has yet to begin.
That's
starting on Wednesday. And it will be interesting to see how things kind of play out. This is the first year for Shire Fest and Somalia Fest and all the other fests, the pre-Pork Fest things that have been going on here, kind of creating a place for people to come to. There's a number of people who are saying they're going to leave before the Porcupine Freedom Festival starts. Last night, a nude woman showed up during your recording, our failed recording, but she didn't know that. And she leans in. I'm sitting there on my laptop trying to fix whatever was going wrong, and this naked lady just kind of leans in and hands me a joint.
Yeah.
Well, but is anything better than that? I mean, not only are you getting free cannabis, but you're also getting a free naked lady.
From a naked lady. Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
And, just thought, this is Shire Fest, right? This
shocking.
This is Somalia Fest. So, that's okay. And yet there are still families here. Roger, you brought your family to this event.
Yeah, this is my second year with my family.
It wasn't advertised as a family-friendly event. That's what Porkfest is advertised as.
Well,
aren't you worried about nude women walking around?
Of course not.
You got kids.
Why would I be worried about that? But, we're not technically here for Somalia Fest. Of course, we're glad that it's going on, but we came here just to have a couple of days of family time before Pork Fest started. That's why I'm calling it Paxton Fest for our family. But of course, it's always great to be around all of these libertarians. But, talking about my kids and being concerned about that, it doesn't bother me at all because they're going to see it at some point in their life. I'd rather them see it, if they're going to see it around me so that I can explain to them what's going on and kind of have that conversation, foster that, that environment with them instead of, sneaking nudie mags, with their, peers a couple of years from now.
We were having a conversation the other day about the old dome.
Right.
The sex dome?
The sex dome. Okay?
I never got to see that. It was gone before I started here.
I have a little boy. He's 6 years old right now. One year we came here, like our second year here, my wife was asleep. He got up and let himself out of the tent and went wandering around the campground. Now, he didn't make it over to the dome, but had that happened, had my son wandered over to the dome, I have no doubt in myself whatsoever that had he walked up to the front door, an adult in the dome would have immediately seen him and said, I know your father doesn't right. want you here, had taken him by the hand and brought him straight
absolutely,
back to me.
Absolutely, no question.
And that would have been the end of it. My son wouldn't have stood there for 10 minutes while they did a bondage show.
A myriad of whatever they might have done.
The whole room would have stopped.
Sure.
And an adult would have brought my child back to me.
No question.
Because that's the way it's done here.
One of the reasons why I wanted to give you the airtime for Call to Freedom is because I think that, you know, people need to understand that at least a different perspective about Muslims. I'm sure you would say it's the truth about Muslims, but there's all kinds of Muslims who would say that, you know, mm-hmm. their version is the truth or whatever. But, you know, you're so persuasive and knowledgeable, and you've really studied. You converted from – what were you before you became a Muslim?
Well, I started out in a Baptist family, and then we became, like, really hardcore Pentecostal. And then I left the church in my late teens, early 20s, and – then I was looking into Ethiopian Orthodox Christianity and studying the work of Marcus Garvey and Leonard Thomas Howell, the founder of the Rastafarian movement. And that led me to reading about Islam and then delving into reading the texts of Islam. And that's when that whole thing kind of spoke to me and I became Muslim.
And then since then, you've like read all kinds of scholars.
Yeah, I worked with quite a few as well. We have interviewed quite a few on the Call to Freedom. Just mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, we had the co-founder of the first accredited Islamic university in the United States wow. on. His name is Imam Zaid Shaker. We had him on with a leader from Florida's alt-right movement.
So clearly in Christianity, there is a huge, you know, statism kind of, you know, bow down to what the government tells you, you know. How is that in the Muslim community? How do you find spreading liberty to Muslims? Is that a difficult proposition?
Well, depends on where I'm doing it. Here in America, it's hard. Sure. In Pakistan, it's easy.
Really? Really?
Well, I think what it is that here in America, we have air conditioning and we have creature comforts, and right. statism has afforded us leisure and comfort.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Statism has afforded us that. I think that's
them it has. You know, these are people that, like, they fled Somalia, where the statism there was all about, let's kill the people that disagree with us.
Right.
And then they came here, and the way that they were able to survive the first 18 months was the state provided them with shelter, food, and things like that, so that they were able to get on their feet and now be productive, quote-unquote productive, tax-paying members of America. And most of them all became very successful, and they attribute that success to the state. Whereas in Pakistan, the state is seen as this oppressive,
right.
all-overbearing...
Because it really is.
Exactly.
Let's be honest,
so
really is.
I think where you see the state is openly, unapologetically, not behind closed doors, this evil mass. It's easy to sell the ideas of liberty. There's a market for us in South Africa.
For sure.
Yeah, and yep. they speak English in South Africa. I mean, they speak Afrikaans, and they speak French too, but English is like a dominant language in South Africa. They now have a libertarian mayor in...
Wow. Real libertarian?
Yeah, propertarian.
Cool.
And that he's loved because of the fact that he ran on a ticket of protecting people's private property
right.
and returning their private right. property, because during the apartheid, black people had their property rights taken away.
Wow.
And since the apartheid, you have hundreds of thousands of black property owners who have still not gotten the actual legal paperwork that says they own their property back to them. And he ran on the ticket of, this is your property. Property that belongs to people should be theirs. The state should not own property. The state should not hold property. And for 20-some years, the state has illegally and repressively held your property rights from you. And we are going to do in a year what the other legislators didn't do in 25.
You know, it's one thing to hear about the success stories. It's another thing entirely
to live them.
Yeah, or to meet the people that have lived them, to connect with this community, to realize this is – it's real. Like, it's not just some sort of pie-in-the-sky idea of, oh, let's just get everybody together in the same place. Well, we're not going to ever get everybody. We're going to get maybe a percentage of you know, the libertarian community, but that's all we need. We
right.
need the hardcores. We need the doers. We need the creators, the leaders, those people to come here to New Hampshire and help us make this even more – of a success.
And that's what I don't like about a lot of people who will say, well, you don't have true freedom in New Hampshire yet. Why should I move up there? But the 2,000 people we already have here have already made so many huge changes to the
yeah.
state. And if we had 10 times that, the 20,000 movers, could you imagine what we could actually do in the state?
It's hard to imagine, but it would be incredible.
I think
we've already had more success here in a decade than I would say the Libertarian Party nationally has had in 40 years. So, I mean, it just keeps accelerating as we get more experience and more time into the system here, working inside and outside of the system.
Well, and that's one of the things I love about this is not just the community we have, but the individualism of all of the members of this community, because everybody can do their own thing.
It's diverse.
We do media. Other people go to the state house all the time.
I do that too.
Yeah, well, there's so many different types of activism, and it all just meshes so well together and creates such a truly free environment for us. Now, obviously, we're not living true freedom yet, but I do have to say that I live much more freedom for my family in New Hampshire than I ever would have in Arkansas.
Abdul Qadir al-Jazari, the one that I was talking about before, Ulysses S. Grant actually gave him a Congressional Medal of Honor and a set of pistols.
Oh, yeah, so not quite Muhammad style.
Yeah,
a little later.
He was that well respected and renowned all across Europe, and it was specifically because, you know, the man. During colonization, he fought the French to keep the French from taking over Algeria. He spent 15 years fighting them to defend his homeland, was imprisoned by the French. There in Marseille, France, there is a Muslim graveyard that's filled with the prison guards who guarded him and their families, because all the men who guarded him as a prisoner eventually became Muslim. And then when he was released by Napoleon II, he went to Damascus, and there was a revolt in Damascus, and the Muslims were going to kill all the Christians who had holed up in this building. And he had 100 of his followers who were soldiers, and he girded them with sword and guns and went and put himself physically between these Muslim militants and these Christians, one of whom was the French consul who led the military, who took his country from him, who helped imprison him for 10 years of his life. And he still protected this man's life with his own against aggression from fellow Muslims.
Wow.
And for
incredible.
That, it was such a huge act that he's one of the very few people who didn't die fighting an American battle, who was awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor by the United States.
The Porcupine Freedom Festival is happening later.
Be here all week.
This week, Roger, you're helping organize that this year.
My wife and I are. Yeah, we're running
bastard.
The main pavilion. I know. And we'll see how it goes. So far, it's going pretty well, though. You know, this week will be the big deal.
I hear the key organizers never even been to a pork fest before.
They were at the one last year.
Oh, they were? Okay.
They were.
Okay,
that's actually where we first met them.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought that was an indicator of how hard it was to find, an organizer. It's like, well, we can't find anybody who's been to this before to organize it, so we need to find somebody who doesn't know what they're getting into.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you got to find the right sucker for it.
Because
right.
It's really a lot. Do. I mean, pork fest is a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, you've got a lot of coordination of speakers.
People come out here and they just enjoy the week. They don't understand how much actually happens on the back end.
I'm sure it's probably kind of like being a restaurant manager. Like, you have crap coming from
all sides.
Well, and the thing with libertarians is we all know this, that no matter what you do, some people are going to complain.
Oh, yeah.
That's just part of it. So, I mean, we could do a free event and, you know, give free camping to everybody, and people would still complain about it.
Well, the nice thing was when I did Keenvention for 3 years, it was always so small that actually nobody did complain. I would ask people, like, well, what did you like? What didn't you like? And I never really got any criticism.
Are you ever going to bring Keenvention back?
I don't know, man. It is a lot of work to put that stuff together, and I've been doing so much Bitcoin outreach. It's Ramadan, right?
Yep.
So that means that you can't eat during the daytime. What does that mean?
Well,
for a Muslim.
For a Muslim, since I'm traveling, I'm not required to fast. I'm also allowed to combine the five prayers into three, because there's a difficulty that goes along with traveling.
Yeah, of course.
If I were sick, it would be the same thing. Diabetic, hypoglycemic, you know, anything that creates a difficulty in your life where fasting would become more than the normal difficulty that it is, then you're exempt from that. It's a dispensation. It's something to make it easier, because
the fast is supposed to
be easy, not, you know, super hard.
Right. But the fast is defined as not daytime, right? Like, you can
time the sun rises to the time the sun sets, there's no food, no drink. You're supposed to abstain from sex. You're supposed to abstain from getting angry.
No drink. You can have water during the day, right?
No.
No food, no drink of any kind. Nothing.
Wow. That is a sacrifice for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, in the desert. No, then originally they were doing this in the desert in 120 degree heat. Yeah.
Better you than me.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
I still talk about the Free State Project.
You still talk about the Free State Project. You still talk about Porkfest.
I'll still critique them when they're wrong,
of course,
too.
As
you
should. I mean, as should anybody. No
like
question.
When they invited John McAfee to speak here, who has had a teenage girlfriend in his 60s, and that's supposedly one of the reasons why I'm not welcome. So, you know, I called him out for that. So I'll still call him out for that because I still think they're an important organization. They're still doing the good work of recruiting people who care about freedom to come here. And that's what the Shire Society does too. So we give more promotion now to the Shire Society.
Of course.
And when we formed the Shire Society at Porkfest in the year 2010, we had a big signing ceremony with dozens of people who signed like a hemp paper version of the Shire Society Declaration, which you can read for yourself over at shiresociety.com. Dozens of us signed it up in the TV room up there during Porkfest, and we kind of knew back then that you know this could be if we ever needed it to be. Like a competing organization to the Free State Project. And turns out we did need it for that purpose. And it is a different style of, you know, yeah, Shire Society is encouraging libertarians and voluntarists and liberty lovers to move to New Hampshire, just like the Free State Project is. But we're doing it without a board of directors, and we're doing it without any kind of organizational structure whatsoever. He's a brand new mover. Britton is with us. Hey, Britton.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, great to have you here on Free Talk Live. And I think you may be the newest mover at this festival right now.
I think I am, yeah.
Later this week, you may be replaced by another newer mover because
I hope so.
That tends to happen.
Yeah.
This time frame is when the Freedom Festival time frame during the summer in New Hampshire, we tend to get people
right.
who move up. This is their first time in New Hampshire, and they stay here. Is that what you're doing? Have you been up here before?
I have been here before to Porkfest 2015.
Okay.
That was the only other time I've been here.
And what was that like for you?
That was a amazing experience. I was here for it was a week long festival that time. Came in the middle of the week and got to meet some people, and I really did enjoy all the speeches and seeing what all the people were doing. Got some books, and I had a really fantastic time.
Well, Porkfest for me last year was my first one, and even though we were already living here, it was a very life changing event for us. Because, you know, just seeing all of this in action, you know, everybody together, it was just an incredible feeling. So, and it's amazing how many people I met at Porkfest last year who now live here. You know, some moved
right.
immediately, some moved very shortly thereafter, you know, a couple of dozen of those
right.
kind of people. So it's definitely great to have you.
Yeah.
You moved from Louisiana.
From Louisiana, right. And I would have come earlier, but I was kind of tied up with the Marine Corps. I was obligated to them for 5 years. So
it is a surprise for a lot of people that they're libertarian because,
sure.
You know, I remember giving that quiz out back in, I think it was probably around the year 2000 was when I started doing that, right around the Harry Brown campaign for president back with the Libertarian Party. And I was basically doing a Libertarian Party booth. But I was using the world's smallest political quiz and yes, that is a riding lawnmower of some sort or tractor. Anyway, the booth was to promote the Libertarian Party and libertarian ideas
right.
in general, and you know, and this was sort of the opener, right? This was our pre-qualifier. So if somebody scores as a libertarian on the quiz, then we pitch them on the Libertarian Party and
yep.
you know, tell them more and offer them some, you know, propaganda to learn more.
What I love the most about the quiz is that it kind of changes the conversation from left and right to up and down.
Yes.
They put libertarian at the top of the quiz, you know, for a reason, because they want, you know, people to
we're the best.
Rise up and we're the best, whatever. I don't know. It's definitely, you know, kind of skewed that way. But that's a more important conversation than left and right, I think.
It is. And it's a much deeper paradigm, a much deeper, you know, idea of political philosophy and political thought, because the left and right is so confining. But
yeah.
People usually don't fit on that chart.
Well, right. And a great example of that, I think, is, you know, a lot of people think in this way. They think, oh, well, you guys are in the center. You libertarians are in the
Which
center.
Which could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Well, right. Because if you think about it like, okay, so if what is the liberal position on, you know, gun control? Are liberals in favor of gun control? Yeah, they're in favor of gun control. Okay, well, I'm in favor of freedom as far as, you know, you can possess whatever you want. So would that put me on the right? Yeah, that would put you on the right.
So how did you hear about the migration that we're having here in New Hampshire? How did you first hear about
it? I first heard about it, I think, 2007 when I got into the Ron Paul presidential campaign as a volunteer. And that's when I first heard about the Free State Project, and there was very few members back then. I remember there was a big push to get the first 1,000 to move up here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I was considering doing that, but just without any money and or any contacts up in New Hampshire, I was in Florida at the time. That's when I moved to Louisiana instead, and I still kind of regret that decision. But I'm here now,
that's
so it's okay.
Moving from the frying pan into the fire,
exactly. Well, and jeez. You know, and you mentioned the money and the it's tough for a lot of people to make that move. There's
right.
no question
yeah, it
about
is.
It. And
yeah.
as you said the other night on this show, it's just not for everybody. Unfortunately, it's not. Some people have family obligations that they can't leave, career obligations that they just can't leave.
Yeah, very.
And so it's not for everybody. And sometimes
some people have a medical condition; they can't handle the cold.
Absolutely.
I mean, or whatever. A lot of times when I would be talking with a bureaucrat about their stupid rules or laws or whatever the objectionable thing of the moment was, their excuse would be, well, you're a member of our society, and so, you know, you agree to do all these things. I'm like, well, I never joined your society. I was
right.
born
into
this.
Oh, it's implied consent. Don't you know the social contract theory?
And then they get into that, right? Social contract. I'm like, wait a minute. But a society is a voluntary – if you look it up, a society is a voluntary association of individuals right. who've come together for a common purpose. And, we know that the state society is not a voluntary society because we're all being forced into it. So I thought, you know, or some of us were thinking, well, what if we had our own society? What if we, you know, the people do this. There's all kinds of the society for blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of societies out there within this geographic landmass or whatever. So what if we just created a society for real principled libertarians with a really, you know, hardcore principled statement that sort of backs it up, that these people would be interested, if presumably they were interested, they would
right.
sign if they liked it. And we spent weeks, you know, somebody suggested the L. Neil Smith passage. I don't remember who it was. The thread's there. Anybody that wants to go can, if you've signed.
I have. I looked up and I read every single post on that thread.
Yeah.
That it was basically a community authorship
right.
of this declaration, and it turned out great.
What's Shire Fest and Somalia Fest, you know, the last couple days been like for you?
Being able to meet, you know, like my favorite podcasters like Roger Paxton, Ian mm-hmm. Freeman, Daryl W. Perry, that's been fantastic. Will Coley, who I got to see speak in 2015, he made an amazing speech that had a lasting impression on me. Mm-hmm. I got to hang out with him out here, and he says he's got something even bigger planned for this Pork Fest.
Cool.
So I'm excited to see that. It's been wonderful. First time I got here, people told me welcome home.
Right.
And
yep.
That's amazing. It's just,
does it feel like that?
It certainly like that? Does. Everything up here has just been great. And
I absolutely concur with that. I mean, I lived in Arkansas for 40 years, almost 41 years, and, you know, lived there around my family and all of that most of my life, and it still never felt as much as home
as
New Hampshire does in
yeah.
a year and a half.
Daryl, you came up a few moments ago very excitedly with some news about the Bitcoin controversy, the ongoing geek war behind
the
scenes.
I'm subscribed on the Telegram channel to news.bitcoin.com.
Oh, cool.
And whenever there's a new article that gets posted on that portion of the site, I wind up getting a Telegram notification.
Okay. And this is an app that you can have on your phone,
yeah, it's a
your computer.
Messaging app.
Right.
There's, you know, a chat functionality. There's
right.
groups. And then you can have a channel, which is a one-way broadcast.
Right, right. For announcements from where?
Right. Announcements, new blog posts, new things on the website, whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, again, I'm subscribed to that news.bitcoin.com channel, and one of the stories that came across as I was checking Telegram messages, 70% of the mining hash rate for Bitcoin has begun signaling for SegWit2x, which is the agreement that was reached by Bitcoin miners at that consensus event a few weeks ago.
About 4 weeks ago now. And one of the most amazing aspects about this Liberty community up here is the interest that that I would say most activists have in cryptocurrency.
Yes.
It's huge. It's become – I mean, New Hampshire's kind of like the home for cryptocurrency activism. I mean, we've had so much success here with just this year. The Bitcoin Protection Bill passed. The governor signed that, HB 436, which basically protects from regulation any businesses that are doing business with exchanging cryptocurrencies or transmitting cryptocurrencies. They don't have to register as a money transmitter or jump through banking regulations if they're exclusive cryptocurrency.
Right. That's my reading of it, is if they're exclusive in crypto, then they're exempt from the regulation.
And that should create a boom here for cryptocurrency in the
Should.
State.
Yep. It's certainly good news, and it's going to counteract the bad news that had come out back in 2015 when there was a bill that added cryptocurrency to the money transmitter statute. So this basically undid that and then went a step further by actually adding a specific protection from regulation for
it
those businesses.
Did not remove the word virtual currency from the regulation that got added in 2015. It just added an exception.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.